Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time to roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesday and Saturday mornings. You can look for a brand new one of those popping up over there at some point in time tomorrow morning. But hey, should swing by there just to check out what's going on anyways. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, all right, Dan, what are we talking about? I don't even know where we're starting today. What's going on?
Draymond Green wore a pretty cool little shirt at the parade today.
At first I didn't get it. It took me a minute to kind of realize what the shirt was. But yeah, it was pretty cool. So did you take in any parade highlights, or did you see anything from it?
No, I didn't realize it was happening this quickly.
Yeah, they seemed to be a real quick turnaround. Didn't the Capitals already have theirs too?
Yeah, I actually clicked on a link that said watch live coverage, and then they already had pictures of it, so I was confused.
Well, that was the live coverage. It was the live picture coverage of the parade. So, yeah, I actually turned on the NBA network and and the parade was over. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess I won't be catching up on anything here. They were actually showing them taking down the barricades and people starting to walk across the street. I was like, yeah, guess I missed it. So, but yeah, I haven't heard any sound bites or anything. Were there any good promises of repeating, or anybody say something we need to know about?
No, like I said, I didn't hear anything except for the t-shirt. Yeah.
So I guess I'll have to look and see if maybe somebody did something stupid. That's like the best part about these things sometimes, but yeah. So, well, you're pretty sure they're doing it again next year, right? They're going to have another parade there.
Well, they should. I mean, unless LeBron goes to Houston.
So, well, you know, I did hear this report. I thought was kind of humorous. Gary Payton, of all people, broke out and said that LeBron will be signing with the Lakers. Interestingly, he had had one really good point. Apparently, LeBron's boys are already enrolled in a school in Los Angeles. Now, apparently the school has denied this, but of course they would anyways. It's not like they would come out and say, hey, yeah, we're doing this. So I thought that was kind of interesting that of all people, somehow Gary Payton had the inside scoop. Do you buy in Gary Payton's idea there?
It's possible, but can you repeat that? Because you cut out right when you said whatever school. I don't know what you said.
I didn't hear the name of the school, but the school, of course, denied that LeBron's children were enrolled there.
Yeah, but I thought this was something that we've all known for like the last couple of years. That his home is in California.
Well, you know, they were just looking at schools in California. I guess apparently they must have still been going to school in Cleveland.
So I was kind of
surprised. You know, obviously I don't follow it as, you know, closely as some people are going to. You know, there'll be people, you know, I'm sure the Mickey Mouse Network will have a reporter basically living on LeBron's lawn. So, but yeah, I thought that was, So yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting that, like I said, of all people, it was Gary Payton who, you know, made sense. I don't know. So I was like, wait, this is Gary Payton we're talking about here. So.
Yeah, but doesn't it matter more where his agent is moving to? Because that's what signified the turn last year.
Yeah, you know, I guess it just kind of depends how you want to look at it, right? I mean, you know,
last year, or whenever he moved to Cleveland, his agent was buying a house out there, and then shortly after, we find out he's finding that.
You know, like I said, I mean, you would think, depending on, you know, does he even want to be with his kids during the season? And I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way at all. It's just the process that, you know, the kids are older. You know, it's not like they're not self-sufficient or, you know, they don't have the money to get whatever they need. And, you know, obviously the season, even though the NBA has done everything they could to pacify LeBron and give him, you know, multiple days off instead of the way the schedule used to be run, you know, there's not a ton of time during the season. So, you know, I would think at this point in time, it would just kind of be, well, if this is best for the kids, then that's, you know, that's where you put them, right?
Yeah. I mean, supposedly his son is going to be the next basketball great, and he's not going to retire until he can play 1 year with his kids. So.
Yeah, I caught bits and pieces of that, too. I'm just trying to remember the last son of a player who was actually good. Or son, I should say son of a great player. Yeah, that was actually good. You know, neither of Jordan's kids made it. You know, so they're difficult footsteps to follow in. So, all right. Well, here, Dan, I came across this. And I'm always, you know, kind of interested in fantasy advice and all that other fun stuff we get. And I found an article about disappointments. And now they don't specify if it's this year or not. I'm assuming that's what they meant. But disappointing baseball players that are ready to explode. So you need to go out and get them here, Dan, on your roster. You need to add these guys or trade for these guys or however it is. They actually start off with Caleb Smith, who is the Marlins pitcher. They put it here, he's got a 3.70 ERA and a 10.8 strikeout per nine innings. Also walked 30 guys in 62 2/3. I don't know, that doesn't sound like disappointing stats, does it, with the exception of he plays with the Marlins? Are you interested in Caleb Smith?
Not really.
So, all right. Well, the next one we run to is a very familiar name here. They go with Jorge Soler. Oddly, they use a lot of older stats to provide him as a disappointment. You know, last year he struggled with injuries, didn't hit very well. I think by the time the season was over, he hit .144, but he was hurt quite a bit. You know, this year he's bounced back. He's got nine homers already in the 58 games, and his OPS is .832. Are you buying Soler as a breakout guy?
Considering, you know, the last couple of years, I would say so.
That's good, because I have him on one of my teams, so that works out nicely. The next guy we jump to is Mitch Haniger, who Mr. Fantasy was actually on last year. Another guy who was limited by injuries last year, only played 96 games. This year he's got 13 home runs and 11 doubles in 64 games. You buy in Haniger to, I don't know if this is so much a breakout, if he just kind of keeps rolling, you buy in him here?
I wouldn't call him a breakout. You know, in the Yahoo, he's considered ranked 46, but he's still sitting there below, well, a high, mid to high 263 batting average. So, I mean, I think if he maintains what he's doing now with the 13 RBI, I mean, home runs, 47 RBI, he could be looking at a guy who hits 30 home runs plus and drives in 100 runs, which I think would be solid numbers.
All right. I'm not sure how this guy ended up on this list because he was legitimately very well ranked into this. I don't know if maybe this guy just didn't want to do some research or what, but Aaron Nola pops up fourth on this list, 7-2 with a 2.35 ERA. And then he throws in the fact that his WAR is 2.4, Dan, because we know how important WAR is for players. You buy in Nola to keep rolling. He's not, like I said, he's not really a breakout. You buy him to keep rolling, though?
Yeah, I think he keeps rolling, you know, especially now that he is.
The next stop will be
Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
How do you spell his last
name? All right, then they wrap up the list here with Dansby Swanson. As we all know, he sucked so bad last year, the Braves sent him back to the minors. This year, he is hitting .266, and he's already got six homers, which is what he had last year. This may be a guy you could actually kind of look at as possibly emerging in the second half out of all the guys on the list. Are you buying Dansby Swanson as that candidate there?
I mean, I don't know. I don't. Not totally. You know, he's only as for a guy who you would, you know, playing shortstop, who's not really considered a power hitter, you'd expect him to have more hits, which he only has about 51 at this time out of just under 200 at bats. With only 14 doubles, he's crossed the plate 26 times with 25 RBIs. I would think that run number would be just a little bit higher. But again, with his youth and everything, I would like to see more stolen bases out of him, but, you know, I'm old school, so.
Yes. All right, well, then I have to ask you with for some assistance here, because I always, you know, I always just kind of wonder if maybe I missed something or, you know, just kind of how things go. But lately, all of my emails from my friend Stu keep talking about how much Chris Bryant sucks. Now, I looked at his stats for the past 30 days, and he's still about 270. Now, you know, the power hasn't been there, which I guess is cause for alarm in today's baseball because it's all about hitting home runs. Do you think there's an issue? You know, like Stu brought up, maybe getting hit in the head is causing him some problems. Do you think maybe that has something to do with it? Or are you as worried or concerned or however it is that everybody else seems to be?
I think that can have some concern to do with it. But, you know, he still has a pretty nice average, .286. I would be completely pleased if he ended the season with more like a .293 or higher. I think the downside, like you said, is the I'd like to comment on his RBIs, but I think we've beat that horse enough.
Yeah.
But no, that's not his fault. That's positioning or basically Joe Manning's fault on why that's not a high number. I do think maybe the home runs and the hit category could be a little higher, but maybe getting hit in the face has something to do with it. But I think it's hard for fans to grasp that a guy who was on pace to, you know, possibly slug 50 one season has, you know, considerably gone down each year.
Humorously, while we were trading emails back and forth, I told him that maybe he should be a little more worried about Javi Baez, who over the same time period is hitting, .095. And apparently it was okay because Baez got a hit last night and Bryant didn't. So I under the impression that there's a little bit of clouded judgment there. I even suggested that maybe they need to send Bryant down for a week to Iowa because I'm sure he still has options. And then maybe, that would clear him up. But that suggestion didn't go over very well either. It's kind of strange because, you're looking at a guy who's hit 270 over the last month and he sucks. But yet, I believe like Russell's at about .140. Ian Hop is right around there. And then I mentioned Baez at .095. But yet we're only concerned because Ryan's not hitting home runs. Something seems wrong there. I don't get it. I'd rather have a guy hit 270 than 095, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. I was just trying to get some more numbers, but, I don't know if you meant they should send Javi down for some Iowa ball, or did you mean Bryant?
Oh, I said they should send Chris Bryant down. So
I have to completely disagree with you, because if you're going to send anybody down, why would it be Bryant over Baez?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a smart-ass, sarcastic type of email, because complaining quite a bit about him. So I just kind of thought, maybe we should send I would kind of straighten him out, So
yeah. Well, you forgot to put that part in. Hey, I was being a jerk.
Yeah, well, I was hoping.
I totally went over my head. But I mean, let's be honest. Like you mentioned with Javi Baez, over the last week, he got 95, which, some guys, just have a bad week. But over the last 2 weeks, he's batting 179 with one home run and four RBIs. And then you give him the last month and he's batting .213. He's only 20 hits out of 94. So six more at bats, and we're looking at a .200 batting average if he doesn't, strike out to add to his 31 strikeouts for this month.
Like I said, I was just kind of thrown off because it just seems like, is everybody just upset because he's not hitting home runs?
Pretty much. That's the game today.
Sadly. Yeah. So, that's what kind of baffled me there. It's like, because I'm looking at this thinking, he's got it. This is a solid average. Like everybody else, I'd love to see it closer to 300, but he's been struggling a little bit. So I'm okay with 270, and then he gets things rolling, and all of a sudden it's 300 again. I don't have a problem with that, but it was just like, he's terrible and he looks terrible, and I don't know what they're gonna do, and it's just like, wait, what am I missing? So I figured since you were the Cub expert, I would be you would be able to help me out there.
Well, not totally, because I just don't see the point in killing Chris Bryant like others do. And, like you pointed out, the very low numbers of Javi Baez over the same period. But, at the same token, you're only mentioning, I think, 2 weeks of a week or 2 weeks of Chris Bryant, and he's still sitting up here for the season with a .280+ batting average. It's not going to take him much to really get in the groove. And I believe by the end of the season, he's going to push that .283, I think it was. I got it right here. .286 up back to, the .290 plus. I think he's going to be on pace to hit, almost 40 home runs. No, I don't think so, but it's not what the game is all about. And one of the things, sometimes when you change things, you know, bringing Chili Davis in has had a good effect on some players. Maybe it's not had that great of an effect on Chris Bryant.
So, yeah, and that's, like I said, you know, I was as baffled as you were, because I know, you know, it does appear he's been struggling as of late, but, you know, like I said, he's not struggling as badly as some of the other guys. And I was just kind of baffled on why, it's his turn to be the scapegoat. You know, I mean, okay, even if his power is down, well, suppose Wilson Contreras, and we're not jumping all over him. You know, he's only got 4 homers. So I find it odd how Cubs fans pick and choose who's playing well and who's not playing well. So like I said, it was just baffling. I know, you know, Bryant did take he did take an 0-for-5 last night, but, you know, they managed to win the game, and, you know, we'll see if, you know, maybe he'll bounce back tonight, and, you know, maybe he won't, maybe he goes 0-for-5 again, who knows? But, yeah, I'm confused more than anything, I guess would be the best way to look at it, so...
They're never going to figure it out. You know, like you said, someone has to be the scapegoat. And Yu Darvish is on the DL, and Jason Hayward has been on the upswing. So we've got to find somebody new to blame, even though they're in first place.
Yeah. even though they're winning, you know, and who knows, maybe he'll get hot when they need, you know, somebody to get hot and carry the team. You know, maybe he'll be that guy then, but, you know, that won't matter because now he stinks. So.
And, I mean, I was looking at the one league, and I must be I'm in the wrong league because you don't have Jason Hayward, but, you know, I threw that name out, so I've got to throw out some of the stats. And, I mean, forget about just this league that he's batting .370 over the last seven games with 10 hits. 2-4 doubles, 7 RBIs, only 3 strikeouts. I mean, at the season, we're looking at a guy who's bumped up his average from .259. And I know the season's not over yet, but he's sitting at a .281. He's only struck out 21 times in 171 at-bats, you know, with 28 RBIs. I definitely like to see that RBI number up a little bit, but we both know sitting at the bottom, sitting at like the 6-7 spot when the guys in front of you really aren't getting on base. They're expected to hit home runs too. Doesn't really help, you know, drive in runs, but I still think they're quality numbers. He crossed the plate 24 times himself. 40 hits. He only has 3 home runs, but, you know, I think we all have to get over the fact that he's not a monster home run guy. And once, you know, maybe that's been something that Chili Davis has gotten into his head to let him know, hey, quit worrying about hitting home runs, you know? I don't know Chili Davis' philosophy, but I'd like to think he's focusing a little less on launch angle.
Yes. How dare you? That's just terrible that you would suggest something like that. So, yeah. Well, you know what's interesting, and I'm really kind of surprised that nobody has made a bigger deal out of this, because in reality, this was a huge deal last night. You know, Hayward tied the game off of Josh Hader, who has been, you know, not only just one of the best left-handed relievers in the game, but one of the best relievers in the game, period. You know, like he came, I think his ERA was a .122. And you know, it was funny because oddly, I'm looking for his stats on Baseball Reference, figuring they'd have a breakdown against lefties. Dan, they have everything but that. It's unbelievable the breakdown they have here, but they don't have anything against righties or lefties. So it's just kind of like, okay, but I'm sure, you know, his numbers against left-handers are probably, you know, just fantastic, and I'm gonna bounce around to another site or two here and see if I can pick them up. But yeah, that was huge last night, and it kind of seems like people are almost glossing over it, and it's like, no, guys, this is really should really be a big deal. I mean, you know, there's been some, you know, outside talk about Hader possibly being a Cy Young guy. And, you know, it was like, okay, you know, and here you go. You got lefty on lefty and Hayward, you know, he's had a struggle. You know, we know he's had his struggles. He's been hot as of late. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought it was an incredible at bat. And, you know, I just thought maybe people would make a bigger deal out of it, and apparently I'm the only guy who seems to care.
Yeah, well, we can't make a big deal about a guy we've been kicking while he was down. You know, because then, while it is a great feat, then you would have to, and not you, to admit where you're wrong. And, you know, I picked up some numbers on a guy who I just discovered was a free agent in our auction league. And I was like curious as to why he's a free agent. He's supposed to be a starting center fielder. And let me just give you his numbers. You know, so over the last week, he's batting 118. But over the last, for this season, he's down from 264 batting average to 173. You know, from last year to this year, he's, where's the strikeouts? I lost him. Obviously, they don't have him in this little stat line. But, you know, the Cubs opted not to sign him, and that's all we heard about last year. And he's progressively coming back down to earth, and that's your favorite guy, Dexter Fowler. I mean, we no longer have that comparison.
Well, here, I finally found Josh Hader's stats against lefties, and this includes the hit Jason Hayward got last night. Lefties are now hitting .081 against him. They've only gotten three hits against him all season. So it was two last night when Jason Hayward hit them. So
that's pretty impressive. One of three guys to get a hit off of him.
So yeah, that's why I thought it should have been a bigger deal. Not only that, the fact that it also tied the game. So, you know.
Yeah. But you know, you see where I'm going with that, though, too, kind of playing off of first saying, you know, not getting the accolades or the acknowledgement of what he did last night. While it may not have won a World Series or any of that, it's still an accomplishment in itself. But, you know, for all the hate and, you know, dislike that, you know, ready to, you know, I'm sure Schaumburg too, and several others were ready to pack his bags and drive him out of town gladly. You know,
oh, yeah.
Back for Dexter Fowler. But look at it, you know, I mean, I think it's improvement. And I think the Cubs were smart in not re-signing him. They were smart in offering him, giving him the qualifying offer and waiting until he couldn't get another offer to re-sign him. That worked out. That was genius, you know. Dexter Fowler. Theo got a guy back on the team that was pretty solid with the team. And he didn't have to pay an exorbitant amount of money. So, like the Cardinals are paying for a guy who I don't care what anyone says, he was worth the $85 million over 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I liked, you know, I like Dexter Fowler. You know, he's a dependable hitter. He's a good defender. He's not great. But, yeah, you know, he definitely wasn't worth that money. I was just kind of like, wow. So, you know, I was like, well, okay. You know, we'll see how it works out.
To go back for a moment, the Capitals parade was today also.
Oh, theirs was today too, huh?
So. Yeah, I just got the NHL update.
They got them all out of the way at the same day. So, you know, but I did want to ask you here, you know, I'm sure, well, maybe you saw this by now, but, The Mets have decided to release your guy, Adrian Gonzalez. You know, he was hitting .237 in 54 games with them. He did have 6 home runs. Now he's 36. Is he going to catch on?
Well, league minimum is, what, 500,000, 550, and he's roughly over a third of the season. I think someone might pick him up and, you know, pay him whatever is left on his contract.
He's making $22.375 million this year, but just under $22 million of that is paid for by the Braves. So,
sorry, the train conductor was screaming to us. That's why I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's making $22.375 million. With 21.81 of it being paid by the Braves.
The Braves?
So.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
I thought that was the Dodgers contract. I don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, well, remember they shipped him there. That was the, what was it? Was that the Matt Kemp deal where the salary? Yeah, it was Gonzalez along with Charlie Culberson, Scott Kazmir, and Brandon McCarthy for Matt Kemp. And then the Braves turned around and released him. Oddly, Culberson has done really well for the Braves. I don't even know if Kazmir has pitched. He's probably hurt. So
that's just hilarious that the Braves or the Dodgers were able to trade away a contract they inherited for a contract that they created.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I thought that was quite humorous. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay, that works. That works out okay. So,
well, maybe he'll go back to the Braves if they need some help.
So, yeah, you know, you do wonder, you know, if he could catch on somewhere, if there's, you know, any interest. So, you know, I mean, do you think he could help contender maybe as a bench, you know, especially an American League team, you know, as a possible bench, you know, part-time DH kind of guy?
I'm trying to pull up the stats real quick. I mean, who out there is, in needing of a team?
Yeah, Yeah, you know, off the top of my head, because I really think at this point in time, it's got to be an American League team. I think he's got to go there where he can be a little more of a contributor as a DH if needed. So
I mean, just before out there over the last week, he's a subpar, sub one ER batting average. He's pretty much having a super down year at .237 batting average with only, well, he has 6 home runs, like you mentioned, with 26 RBIs. So it's definitely base to being a former White Sox signing at first base. I can't think of the guy's name anymore.
Frank
That's
Thomas?
Come in. No, not Frank Thomas. And not Jim Tomey. There was that other guy. You know what I'm talking
Paul
about.
Canerco?
Now you're just seeing.
Yeah, Paul Canerco. No, I was just naming first baseman.
Well, you know which one I'm talking about. The ridiculous.
No, I don't. I'm a White Sox first baseman who had a ridiculous contract?
Not John Kruk. Hey, you remember, he was batting 200. It wasn't Scott Rowland.
Oh, Adam Dunn.
Adam Dunn. How can I forget?
Yeah, Adam Dunn. I wasn't thinking of him as a first baseman. That's why I didn't get to him.
No, wasn't he a first baseman, or he was right fielder?
He was, he was more of an outfielder than a first baseman.
Yeah, well, he might as well have played first base because of what he did for that team. What's the situation on the West Coast? I highly doubt Texas would be looking at him. I doubt Oakland would, because even though they're in the running right now, they're 8 games out behind your team, which I didn't realize was sitting at the top. Ooh. With 42 wins. I mean, with some of the situations Seattle's had, do you think he'd kind of be a good fit to, like you mentioned, DH, come off the bench? Possibly the Angels?
Yeah, I do wonder, they've had some issues where, they've ended up bringing Vogelbach up and down a few times. And I do wonder if maybe signing a guy like Gonzalez as, a left-handed hitter, just to strictly be a bench player, he could possibly be an asset. And I know like the Houston farm system is stacked, but I think there could be a window there for him as well. Obviously he would be buried on the bench there, but Gurriel isn't, he's not a standout type of guy. So I definitely think, those could possibly be a couple landing spots. Hell, if the Red Sox manage to get a couple more injuries, they may have to bring him back.
For now, let's just completely cross off the East, because, let's be honest, the Yankees and the Red Sox, unless, like you said, the injuries would really play into them, would they be looking at him? But I think the Yankees, that would be just completely – I don't want to say out of the question, but with the way their farm system is, I think they'd be okay if they lost another guy first. But here's the interesting one that I didn't realize. A team that is supposed to be it was the Central, American League Central, all supposed to be rebuilding except for the Indians. I don't know anymore. Their division has become literally it's just gotten weaker over the last 10 years, and I think it's at its weakest. Altogether, especially since a team that's supposed to be rebuilding, who dumped a lot of, not as much as they could, but they dumped a lot of players last year. That was Detroit, is sitting 5.5 games behind Cleveland, which isn't too bad, especially now that we're only in June. I kind of forget that they're there, to be honest, because Mickey, I think, it was a great player. I still have that respect and honor and all that, but I think we know he's kind of on a downhill. I don't know the whole situation in Detroit, but could he possibly work out there every day?
The problem would be you would have to get rid of Miggy. You'd have to find a taker for his contract, which you're not going to do, or you're going to have to cut ties with Victor Martinez, and I don't know if they're willing to do that, because I don't know if adding Adrian Gonzalez is as beneficial to them as, it could possibly be to somebody else. I do wonder, if he was to stay in the National League, do you think Washington would take a look at him? They've had a lot of injury issues as well. Could he possibly fit in there as a bench guy? I mean, they're really young on the bench. So, maybe he plugs in.
That could be a great spot for him. But, another team that consistently has injuries, Arizona. Two teams in the first place that I think could maybe use a guy like he off the bench. Why are we so nice trying to find guys?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a little tougher for Arizona with Goldschmidt in front of him. That would make it a little tough there. But I'm wondering, if there is a landing spot out there somewhere for him. It could be it could, you know, could be interesting. You know, we'll have to kind of see how it shakes out. A new home, but yeah, I'm wondering if maybe, you know, maybe the end for Adrian.
I think we're looking at it badly.
Yeah. No, we'll have to see how it works out, but yeah, it might be time for, or might be the last we seen of Adrian. So, I can't say, Dan, believe it or not, I got two home runs out of Mike Trout yesterday.
Damn it.
So, of course, they were the only two home runs I got. So, you know, that did not, that did not help at all. So we'll have to see how that goes. I'm making a late edit to my lineup. If I sound distracted here, I had Russell Martin in it and he's not starting. So I have to hunt down another guy in the price range and hope it works out. So, all right, let's see what we got here. Dan, you like, you like John Hicks against Minnesota or Luke Molly against Tampa Bay?
I guess Luke.
All right.
As long as you're not his father.
Yeah.
Bad jokes.
Oh, wait. Maybe I can't make that switch. They're saying that game already started, so I can't... Yeah, I missed it by 2 minutes. All right, let's see if I can find a later start time here. Okay, I can get his game hasn't started. I should be able to get him in. So there we go.
See
how that goes.
Yeah,
they're not gonna. Oh, they're going to swap because the game starts. Damn it! Well, Russell Martin better get in the game then.
The two home runs you got were great, seeing as I got zero with my roll of the dice last night. But I'm assuming now that Trout hit
trice.
Two last night. Yeah, trice. Because you guess who I picked for tonight, right? I went back to one of my usuals without Mookie, and that's Trout, Harper, and JD.
Yeah, I stayed with Trout and Harper, and, you know, this week is second baseman week. Didn't work out last week, but today I'm going with Rogner Odor of the Rangers as my third guy. So we shall see how this works out. You know, I figure he's a home run hitter, so that may play in a little bit. And I did win, oddly, as weird as it sounds, Dan, you know, I won $2 last night, and I was still – incredibly disappointed. I thought I had a big winner, you know, because I had Carlos Carrasco as my pitcher, and he went out and put up 64 points. And then I knew Daniel Descalzo had a real good day. He ended up with 28-9. And I thought, okay, well, you know, if the rest of the lineup just kind of rolled, I would do okay. And I still only came in at 164.50. which was enough to win $2. But yeah, I really thought I was going to get a 200 point lineup and have an opportunity to really kind of cash. And I just, you know, I didn't get there. You know, Jose Ramirez took a dump, only scored 9 points. Cameron Maben only scored 3.5. And, you know, I put Paul Goldschmidt in my lineup. He decides to suck. I only get 3 points out of him. So, They kind of buried me. So we'll have to see how it goes or how it bounces back. But yeah, obviously tonight I do have a lineup. Hopefully I'm gonna have to make up some ground because Russell Martin looks like a zero now. But I went with Eduardo Rodriguez as my pitcher for 8,500, mostly because he's pitching against the Orioles. I got Martin in the catcher first base slot. He cost me 2,300. I read he was good value tonight, and I'm disappointed he's not in the lineup. Second base is Jed Yorko for 2,400. He's hitting six tonight for the Cardinals. Miguel Sano at third, 3,400. He's hitting cleanup for the Twins. Tim Anderson of the White Sox at short, 3,500. He's hitting seventh. My outfield is Andrew Benintendi of the Red Sox. He cost me $4,700, so he better roll tonight. He's hitting second for them. Andrew McCutchen is my next outfielder at 2,900. I feel he's a fantastic value, hitting third for the Giants. And then Mr. Fantasy's guy, Carlos Gomez, is my last outfielder, 2,300. He's hitting seventh for the Rays. And then my utility guy is J.D. Martinez. So I'm betting on the Red Sox tonight. He cost me $5,000. He already has 3 points because he did walk. And he cost me $5,000. So there it is. That's what I'm going with. And like I said, I'll have some ground to make up with because I missed swapping out Russell Martin by a minute. So that'll teach me. So we'll see how all that goes and all that works out. But hopefully you do better. Hopefully you guys do better than I do. Like I said, I'm always happy to get my money back, and I was quite surprised. I was just a little disappointed there. I thought I had a big time lineup going, and it just didn't work out. I was like, damn. So we'll see how it goes. I did see here, if you're a Cardinal fan, it's looking like, your bullpen may have a little more issues. I'm reading here that Luke Gregerson underwent arthroscopic knee surgery. Now, he's been on the DL because he's had an issue with his right shoulder. So I found it interesting that he ends up having knee surgery while he's out for a shoulder injury. That's going to add about 4 to 6 weeks to his return. So, we'll have to see. The Cardinal bullpen ended up being really young. They did bring in Greg Holland. He's now on the DL. I believe Dominic Leone, Tyler Lyons, and I know Matt Bowman is on the DL because I have him in one of our leagues. So, the Cardinals are, a little stuck. Bud Norris is going to have to handle the majority of the closing duties, which he just started doing. They do have Jordan Hicks, who can throw, 8,000 miles an hour, but has a little control problem. I know John Rabia picked up a save the other night for him, and then they're going with a couple more young guys, Mike Mayers and Sam Tuvalu. So, I know the Cardinals are hanging around there in the Central, but you got to wonder if these bullpen issues are going to catch up to them eventually. So, we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. But, if you were carrying Gregerson waiting for his return, I believe he was picked in both our leagues, add 4 to 6 weeks after, with the knee surgery now to his return. So you got to wonder if he's even worth hanging out to at this point. We shall see. So, yeah, and then, there was a trade the other day. I know Dan and I didn't get into too much. I was a little surprised when the Rays designated Brad Miller for assignment. They brought up their, I think if he's not their top prospect, he was one of their top prospect, Jake Bowers. Obviously, they had to make room for him. And in a bit of a surprise, it was Miller who got the DFA there. They ended up working out a deal where he went to the Brewers, and the Brewers actually sent him to AAA. His numbers weren't off the charts, but, he's hitting .256 with 5 homers. If you remember 2 years ago, he had a 30 home run season for the Rays. Last year, he was a little limited, only 110 games due to injury, and had a down year, 201 with just 9 homers. But, the injuries will do that to you. In return, they pick up G-Man Choi, who actually was contributing for Milwaukee off the bench. You know, Choi, one of the guys, you know, obviously he became kind of expendable when Eric Thames came off the DL. But, you know, in 12 games for the Brewers, mostly as a pinch hitter, he only had 32 at-bats. He did have a couple homers. He was hit .233. Interestingly, as soon as both these guys were traded, they were both shipped to AAA. So Choi went to AAA for Tampa, and Miller's now in AAA for Milwaukee. You know, I assume down the road we'll see Miller, depending on what goes on with the Brewers. But Choi, I don't know. He could be stuck in the minors for quite a while, you know, there. But, you know, just one of those things, you know, you end up doing, and I guess at least they got something for him, right?
Yeah. I was kind of surprised. I got the email from the Brewers about the acquisition of Brad Miller. I just thought, I was like, oh, that'll be a good one for them, you know, in case they need something. I didn't realize they sent them down to AAA. But, you know, maybe it's one of those situations where it's not so much of stocking up your farm system as much as it is knowing you have a solid guy down there that can come up.
Yeah.
And, you know, eligible for a playoff roster if need be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely I think it was a good pickup for Milwaukee. You know, obviously it's not life changing, however you kind of want to look at it, but yeah, I definitely think it's a solid move. I mean, you know, it's always nice to have those veteran guys you can go to if you need to, and you know, it could definitely be it could be a plus for them. So
surprised me a little bit more is what you said about Tampa bringing up their prospect, which, you know, I didn't put two and two together at first. But, you know, when you mentioned their prospect, I immediately thought you were going to say Christian Arroyo. You know, and I'm not like the super fan of the kid, but I thought he was definitely major league ready. So it makes you wonder what Tampa has quote up their sleeve. You know, are they just trying to get him the playing time down there? You know, are they trying to keep him down there so he can get his numbers up so that maybe by the trade deadline, you know, I don't know. You know, I was just trying to figure that one out. What their plans are for this kid.
Yeah, you wonder if there's something holding him up, or if there's something they just, you know, they don't like. I know, you know, he's been up for a little while now, but I don't know. I don't think he's been getting regular training. And I'm always a little baffled when, you know, you bring these guys up and then you don't play them every day. So,
especially on that team.
But, yeah, and the weird part is here, he's hitting .289 in 16 games. He's got a two doubles, a triple, a homer, and six RBIs. So, you know, he seems to be swinging the bat okay, and you just wonder, you know, can you find a spot for him? You know, I mean, is it important that, you know, a 28-year-old journeyman like Joey Wendell is getting every day at bats, or... You know, even, you know, I mean, I know Matt Duffy's hitting .320, but, maybe you got to shuffle something there. I don't know. You know, they seem to be finding playing time for Bowers every day, but I don't know why Arroyo doesn't get the same look.
Well, and it's nice to see that Matt Duffy's producing.
Yeah. So obviously that's a huge plus. I mean, it's nice that he's the only regular hitting over 300. I know Malik Smith has come on as of late, so that that could be something they have to look forward to. But you're looking at a team that's 30 and 35. You put Chris Archer on the DL. So, I don't know. You've lost, your top prospect at Tommy John. Your other middle guy, Jake Faria, had an oblique, and they're expecting him out till August. So, you think, maybe if you're going to bring him up, you might as well play him, right?
Exactly.
So, I guess we'll see if or how they shake it out. But yeah, that's just one of those things. But yeah, like I said, they found they basically DFA'd Miller so Bowers could play every day. Which makes sense to me. I mean, if you're gonna bring him up, play him. But then Arroyo didn't really get the same convenience. I guess oddly for some reason, Baseball Reference still has Denard Span as their starting left fielder, and he's been in Tampa Bay for how long now? So, maybe they need to get in and adjust their lineups here a little bit. I mean, obviously it's got to be tough to keep up with all that stuff, but it's been multiple weeks since Span was dealt. Yeah.
Where was Span dealt? He's not with Tampa anymore?
No, he went to Seattle.
I didn't even know that.
he went to Seattle with Ramos. Was it Ramos? Who was their closer that's now Tampa's setup guy? I want to say Ramos, AJ Ramos.
Wait, if he's a setup guy, doesn't that mean he's like the second inning pitcher?
Actually, it was Alex Colome. AJ Ramos is the Met guy who got hurt. Not in Seattle. Only Tampa does that. So in Seattle, he actually pitches like the second.
Honestly, I didn't even realize. But just so you're up to date on baseballreference.com, they are they're hiring some new internet guys, and then they've been really focused on their newsletter, personalizing it for you. I just don't know what the hell exactly we would be looking for every day. Because, Sports Time Radio, Big Jack and Dan the Man, can you really narrow it down? What are we looking for? Everything but war? it was hard to – I tried, filling it out, but I'm like, I don't – what do you think we want? We want everything. I want transactions every day. I want injury updates. Yeah. It's hard to bait the newsletter. Give me everything. Transactions. All day. That's what we need.
Yeah,
not for just the show,
but
for our own personal fantasy.
Don't forget you can go listen to the podcast anytime you choose at